Welcome back to High Desert Bits. We're entering season two as the kids go back to school, and I'm so looking forward to seeing kids work throughout the school year. We're kicking off this season, though, with the percussionist and Tower Theater box office agent, Morgan Watts. Listen in.
Morgan, I'm so glad you're here on High Desert Bits, my nerdy little podcast about theater and all the other things. You know what the BIT stands for?
Yes, butts in theater seats.
This is always a good thing. Yes. It's always a good thing to have butts in theater seats. And you have been in 1,000 shows. Just in the last couple of months, you've been in several productions, going from one show
to
the next.
So far, it's been one per month this year. So starting in January, each month, there's been at least one show.
Yeah. How do you do it?
Well, I genuinely love theater. That's what gets me through. But it's just so much fun. Yeah. I love being a part of it. I love being a part of a production. There's nothing I enjoy more, really.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it.
The thing you and I have talked about is there are a lot of musicals in town,
mm-hmm.
a lot of shows that get done. And you, because of the nature of your art, it requires you to be a live band.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how much I love the idea of having a live band, live orchestra, live combo, whatever it is that you and the director and the actors and the tech all come together and make it happen. What's the best part of being a part of a pit?
It's just the camaraderie of everything, kind of like you're saying. It's like being a part of a massive team, bringing something together. And the final product, that's what everybody sees, but the amount of effort that goes into it from every end.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you have the pit, you have the directors, the choreographers, the lighting, stage managers, everything.
So many
marketing, just so many different things. And being a piece of that is really special.
Yeah.
So
how often would you be in rehearsal before you went and did a run of a show? And like when you do runs of shows, it's not like four shows and you're done. It's like many.
Yeah. And it does depend on the show. Sometimes it is four shows and you're done.
Yeah.
Other times, like when I did Next to Normal over at Greenhouse Cabaret, that was 18 shows.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. That's definitely at the higher end. Usually it's a 2-weekend run for most shows I play in. So we might do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just really fun to be a part of. And it does take a lot of time. It's a big time commitment for sure. And depending on the show, the band might have 3 or 4 rehearsals prior to meeting with the cast.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Like when I work with OPA, with Jonathan Shepherd, that's a local theater company, he usually likes to have 3 to 4 band rehearsals. With the Greenhouse Cabaret, they were like, we're doing one and done. So you get one band rehearsal and then we're doing Sitz Probe where you meet with the cast. It just depends.
Yeah.
Depends on the show.
So you have to be on your game. How far in advance do you get your music?
That varies too. Sometimes it's plenty of months in advance.
Yeah.
Other times it's a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely, luckily I've done so many of these shows. I was just tallying up how many I've done total in my life. It's been like 20 or 25.
Already?
Yeah.
You're 10.
Oh, I'm not 10, but...
She looks like she's 10, people.
Yeah. And with each show, it's kind of like you get used to how show music is written, mm-hmm. and it's less stressful when you get a book. I feel, at this point, pretty confident in my ability to get a book and feel comfortable with it.
Right. I think the amazing thing for me is... you know, as an actor, director, you get a script and it's got all the words in it, everybody's words in it, all together bound in a book.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, do you just get the sides that are percussion?
Yeah, so everybody...
And the fiddle player only gets the fiddle stuff.
Yeah, everybody gets an individual book, like every pit member. So they'll be, if you know, depending on what's in the music, like in the score, you'll have a drum set book. A lot of times you'll also have a percussion book. Mm-hmm. When I did Tarzan with Opa a couple of years ago, there was one drum set book and three percussion books.
Oh my.
We didn't have the, you know, the... amount of people that was needed for that show, so we just made do with it was just me on drum set and then one other percussionist. But yeah, so everybody has their own individual book, and then usually the whoever's playing like the keyboard part tends to have all the lines and everything, kind of like the music director side of things, so they have to follow everything.
Which is pretty amazing.
Bless them.
Bless them is right. Holy mackerel. That just floors me that, you know, you'll play a whole show and not know whatever. I mean, you have an idea of what everything sounds like in the composite, but.
Yeah, there's some shows where that I've played and I'm just like, what is this show about? What is happening in this? I want to see the show.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Like that was when I did Cats. I did Cats here at the Tower Theater. Okay. That was back in like 2018.
Yeah.
And we were way down. We weren't just
you were in
the
basement.
We were in, were underground in the basement behind closed door.
Yeah.
And couldn't see anything that was happening. And that was still, I was still sort of new to doing musicals at that point. I'd done a
few. You could hear their footsteps on the floor.
I could hear
them. You were right behind, underneath them.
Yeah, I could hear them. And I mean, that's a weird show to begin with.
It is.
I was just kind of like, what? Like, yeah. I'm playing this song. It's a cool song. What is happening? What could possibly be happening
exactly.
up there?
T.S. Eliot saying, okay, so I have this affliction for cats. I really like them. I read a lot of poetry.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a funny thing to know the music of a show so well and to get so rehearsed in that and still not even know like what's happening on stage, blocking and, you know, choreography, that kind of thing, costumes even.
Yeah.
It's just a different side of the theater world that, you know, unless you're a musician, you don't really get to experience it.
Exactly. Right.
So
tell me, how did you get here? How did you get to Bend? How did you get here at the Tower? We're sitting in the Tower Theater as we record here.
Yeah.
How'd
so here? I was born here in Bend back in 97.
She looks like she's 10.
So born and raised, I started playing drums when I was 8 years old.
Cool. You have good parents.
They were super encouraging of any pursuit my brother and I wanted to do. They were like, you want to do sports? Put me in sports. Want to do music? My mom bought me a drum set, like not even thinking twice about it. Not all parents would do that. So very grateful.
Mom.
Yeah. I started playing drums, took private lessons, great drum teacher, George Bowie. And you know, at first I wasn't really sure if drumming was going to be something I would continue doing. It was kind of just like a childhood activity. And then I started playing in middle school band. Absolutely loved it. I didn't really fall in love with it until I got to high school band. I went to Summit High School.
Okay. Who was your band teacher?
It was Dan Judd.
I used to work with Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he did an amazing job with the music program there. I was there. My 4 years, I was in the wind ensemble all 4 years, and we went to state all 4 years and won three times. So incredible experience. And that was kind of the first time where I really just fell in love with music.
Good.
You know, just all, not just playing it, but just being a part of a band, playing in a group. And I really hadn't been exposed to a whole lot of musical theater at that point, though. I was just kind of on the side of, you know, playing percussion and playing drum set in a jazz band.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first show I ever played, it was with Trinity Lutheran here in town.
Cool.
They did Willy Wonka, and that was back in like 20, 14, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I was still very young and I just loved it. I was like, wow, this is great because I get to play drums and it's, you know, I've always been really good at reading music. That's been something that's
that is a gift.
Was just something I was always really skilled in, and it's theater provides the perfect opportunity for that because you have to be able to read to play these shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I started there, and then it just kind of took off where just show after show, people are like, oh, we need a drummer, and Morgan's reliable, and I did that. Back when Second Street Theater was still a thing, I did Disenchanted.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which was a super fun, goofy show, and it was cool. We were actually supposed to go on tour with that show, and then the whole, all of COVID hit, and theater, you know, kind of took a back seat.
Yeah.
But then luckily things have started. Theater world has blossomed again post COVID, and it's just been show after show after show.
That's awesome.
Which it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's kind of where I am now. And
I
then,
love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So tell me the shows that you've been in since January.
Yeah, so I was in Cinderella with OPA. That's with Jonathan Shepherd's theater company here
in town. Ovation Performing Arts.
Yes, correct.
OPA.
Yeah, and then I did Ride the Cyclone with Ponderosa Players.
Nice.
Fantastic local theater company. I just love what they're doing. And then I did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That was OPA, their younger cast.
Yep.
Super cute show. And then Next to Normal at the Greenhouse Cabaret.
Yes. Fantastic show.
Yeah, that was a heavy hitter for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing cast. And I just have a lot of admiration for John and what he's doing there.
Absolutely.
So
consistently stellar work.
Yeah, stellar work, and he's very adamant about paying people reasonable reasonable wages for their efforts.
For your time, absolutely.
So really great person and great company there.
Yeah.
And then I did Guys and Dolls with Trinity Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Then just finished Newsies with OPA.
Yep.
So.
Oh, so you're taking a break now.
Yes, I'm taking a break, and it's a good thing. Obviously, I love doing it. It does take a lot out of a person.
Yeah.
Because they're late, you know, it's having show after show and sometimes tech rehearsals. Anybody who's in theater knows tech week is...
Yeah.
Hell. Yeah, it's hell week.
Hell week, yes.
And so it's good to have a break for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And then do you know if... Are you a part of a pit or a group for any upcoming shows?
What's coming up next is actually it's TMP is doing Rocky Horror here at the Tower Theater in November. So that's kind of the next one that's coming up. And then I just agreed to doing Spring Awakening with Ponderosa Players, which is next February.
Cool. So okay.
Can't wait for that.
That'll be a great show.
Yeah.
Do you do anything else musically? Do you teach? Do you write?
I do. I teach drums at the Cascade School of Music.
Cool.
I just started that job back in mid-May, I guess. So about a month and a half of doing that.
Nice. Do you like teaching?
I do. It's new. I've actually never taught before.
Awesome.
I've been playing drums for pretty much 2 decades. And it's my first time, like, actually teaching people.
Awesome.
There's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you like it?
I do so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really enjoyable when you're talking to kids and you can just see them light up when they finally understand the concept. It's
so
really cool.
So cool.
Yeah, I do that, and I do tons of other non-musical theater gigs as well. I play with the Central Oregon Symphony. I play percussion for them with the Cascade Wind Ensemble.
Nice.
And then I'm kind of, I call them just pickup gigs where somebody will call me and be like, we need sleigh bells or something, you know, just like a random.
No.
Yeah, we need like random sounds, and it's like, I'm your girl.
That little twangy part that goes.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah. So tons of pickup gigs.
Oh, love that.
You know, a lot of times churches or something like that, they'll, on Easter, I've played, you know, timpani parts or that kind of thing. So percussion wise and drum wise, that's what I do. And then I do write, yeah, I write songs, kind of just for myself for now.
Nice. It's
eventually
okay.
Maybe
baby
I'll
steps.
Yeah. Maybe that's I'll right. kind of release some, I like to sing and play guitar.
Awesome.
So,
but I was going to ask, do you have any other musical abilities, any other secret gifts?
I mean, I wouldn't call those gifts. They're in development.
Okay, good. I like that.
But I definitely love, I mean, I just love all things music. It's like my safe space.
Yeah.
So I love to get creative with it. And when I'm not drumming, just write songs. And
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be. That is such a great place to be.
Yeah.
This is Hazel's question.
Mm-hmm.
What's one underrated skill that a live musician might use? For instance, what would people not expect you to be good at?
I would say, well, there's lots of things. specifically being a drummer in that world, being able to choreograph every single move.
Yeah.
Because you just... everything moves so fast that you have to be ready. And there's times when things are written where you're playing a rock beat and then you have one measure to pick up a cowbell or something like that. And
yeah.
It's just like, you just have to be ready for whatever's next. So it's kind of like looking ahead at a book, being able to be like, okay, this is where I need to have this mallet. This is where I need to have this type of stick. You know, I need to be able to turn the page while playing right here. So I'm really good at playing one-handed. That's a huge thing.
Okay.
Another thing is just having an attention span that's, you know, you can't zone out in shows. I have to be honest, sometimes when I'm playing, I play in a jazz band as well. And sometimes when I'm playing with them, I kind of zone out a little bit and I just, you know, kind of enjoy the music. But with a show, you really have to pay attention.
Right.
It's essential.
We talked about this earlier, that the difference between playing with a live band and playing with a track was that you can make adjustments if the singer skips a couple measures ahead or if something happens, and you can make those adjustments, which can't happen.
Yeah, when you have a track, the track... once you push play, it goes. Yeah. It doesn't just, it's always the same every time, which it can be nice for, you know, because they rehearse with that and they get used to that. But when you have a band, it's like, you know, we can have vamps where we repeat sections. If somebody misses their line or they forget their line or they jump a line, a lot of times it's kind of like another skill that being in a pit, it's being able to read the mind of the music director. Because it's kind of like knowing the show well enough where lines were skipped and the music might, you know, we might be in one section of the music, but the actor has decided that we are in another section.
Yeah.
And so just that ability to adjust and be adaptable, knowing the show well enough to be able to jump to different parts of the music. We can be... the actors, we can be their best friend in that way.
Yeah.
There's times where, like a lot of times, I will be asked to hit a starting pitch note for actors.
Okay.
You know, they have a song that they're supposed to come in and they need a starting pitch. Great thing with having a live band is just the chance for dynamic contrast.
Yeah.
With a track, you can't really swell and get louder or get really soft or that kind of thing. And that just adds to the drama of everything, right? It makes it more alive. I always, whenever I see shows with tracks, I admire any show that's put on.
Yep.
But it's just, it always feels like it's a half live show where it's not fully, it's not fully live.
And it's so much more dynamic when you have, you know, all of that. Yes. You know, all of that agreement. We're going to all put a show together.
Yeah.
We're all going to work together to carry one moment to the next moment to the next moment. And we're going to do it all together. That's marvelous.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so it's just, of course, I'm biased.
Yeah, that's okay.
But for me, whenever I see a show, if there's a live band, it just adds an element to it that you just miss out on if you can't have that.
Yep.
And I understand it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to have a live band.
Such a challenge, yeah.
Especially just depending on whether, you know, whether it's sound issues, balance issues, are people mic'd, you know, spatial issues. That's a huge thing in this area. Where,
you know, can you explain, like, if anybody has not gone to Greenhouse Cabaret and seen a show there, you need to go.
Yes. Yes,
but
you do.
When you were in Next to Normal, there was a portion of the band that was in the house, above the house.
Yes.
And then tell us where you were, Morgan.
I was back in the plant shop. I was playing with the plants. Very beautiful.
Could you see the show?
I couldn't see the show at all, really, which is too bad. But yeah, so I was just, because I had a big, that was a big setup for that show.
Yeah.
I had just obviously a full drum set, but then I had a vibraphone, I had bells, conga, just all types of stuff. And I needed a lot of space.
Yeah.
And so if I would have, there was just no room for me in the main, because that's a small black
box
kind of theater.
Seat 60.
Yeah.
And you had how many musicians were in the band?
So it was, let's see here.
Counting in my
six.
Head.
Six total. So we
six
had
people.
Yeah, drums, piano, guitar, bass, cello, and violin.
Yeah.
And the violinist was doing some synth work too up there, which was cool. But yeah, for a lot of theaters, it's like trying to puzzle piece the band into the space. Especially like in a place like Cascade Theater, it's hard to find space there.
Right.
So I understand why they can't always have a live band.
Right.
Plus, it depends on the show. There's some shows where the band, it calls for, it's a 4-piece band. Other shows, it's a 20-piece orchestra.
Right.
You know, when I did Guys and Dolls with Trinity, we had, I mean, they do their shows in, for now, in their gym. They're actually getting a live performing space, which is great. But it wasn't the gym, and gyms are big. So we had plenty of space to have all 20, I think it was like 23 of us, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a full big band kind of setup, which is awesome. Trying to put that in somewhere like, you know, CTC or Green High, it just wouldn't fly. So that's another skill, actually, is being able to cram into tight spaces. It really is.
The origami of a percussionist.
Yes.
Okay, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. All right, so we have covered a ton of things. Is there anything you want listeners to know about live music, about being a percussionist, about you?
I mean, the main thing is just really embracing the live music and noticing it. Because I think what happens a lot of times when you're not super keen to listening to it, there's music happening and you're not even aware that it's happening.
Right.
So it's kind of like really paying, if there's a live orchestra,
playing
just
scene changes
exactly.
Or playing the undertones of a scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like just whenever you go to a show and there's a live orchestra, really pay attention to not just the big, you know, kapow numbers, but it's kind of like all the little underscore sound effects, because it's happening. We are down there.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in an actual pit, we're down there making sound even when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool element of theater. I'm super passionate about it.
And when the show is done and the actors have walked off stage, stay in your seats and listen to the bow music and the end music, and then give those musicians a little applause, a little bit of love.
We do appreciate
before
that.
You walk out, because they've got some jobs to do on your way out. Give them a little recognition.
Yeah, it's always nice when we're playing, especially playing the exit music, because that's the music where people are leaving.
Exactly.
And sometimes people will stay and they'll clap for us.
So I can hear you guys.
Yeah, it's so awesome. We love that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on my little silly show. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been bugging you to get on this. So this is great.
I love that.
Thank you so much.
Yay!
Thanks for listening to our first episode of Season 2 with Morgan Watts. You can follow Morgan on Instagram at MorganDrumsStrumsBums. There's some underscores in there. And you can listen to us at HighDesertBits.com and on Instagram at HighDesertBits. Get out and do your bits, people.